Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. It is now time for Inside Matters, Spiritual Talk, Healing Done Right, Spiritual Growth, 12-Step Indigo, Meditation, and much, much more. Host.
Hey, family. How's everyone doing out there? You know, I'm very tired. I'm very tired about a lot of things. I'm very tired of going to doctors. I'm very tired of looking at the news and all this election rhetoric. I'm very tired. I'm watching the changes going on all over the place. Listening to one of my buddies on Facebook, someone that I listen to regularly. He was talking about, you know, the madness going on the face of this earth. He's talking about planes falling out of the sky. I had a friend of mine, one of my Zoom buddies, living in Seattle, Washington. The seaplane fell out of the sky. She and her wife were on vacation coming back home in that seaplane, and that was the first time I've been, that close to someone falling out of in a plane falling out of the sky, and it fell into the sea, and they only could find one body, and that one body wasn't hers until days later. She washed up on the shore. You know? How's everybody doing with the time change? That affects me in ways that I can't even begin to tell you. With the days shorter and it's dark outside, it's getting dark now. But I try not to let it get the best of me. I do my countdown until spring as of today. We have 134 days until springtime, and I love doing that countdown because when I count it down, every other week it seems to get, you know, closer and closer. That's my imagination. That's how I feel in my mind. So everybody's going through hell. Not that spooky kind of hell, you know, not that woo-woo kind of hell, just stuff as we're watching masculine and feminine collide, or we watch the above and the below begin to converge together, and we're caught up in the middle of all of that. I've got this health issue that I do my best not to think about when I get deep in thought over it. Then I can really, really, really make my head go through a lot of changes because, well, we just won't even discuss it right now. Not in detail. But for those of you who have asked, I will see my colon surgeon Thursday. And he'll tell me what the scan that he ordered for me, what it shows. But as far as we know, it has to do with scar tissue, and the scar tissue between my colon and the ureter that connects my bladder to my kidney to, you know, expel, you know, the waste that the kidney puts into the bladder for us to go to the bathroom. Well, it seems that scar tissue is strangling my ureter, and that's what's causing it to not open wide enough so that my kidney can flow through freely, and so my kidney begins to swell. But we're not going to talk about it in detail because I haven't decided what they've decided they would like to offer me as options to what I want to do, you know? You know, so let's get back to things that affect us as spiritual beings, you know, having this human experience and watching critical mass of spirituality slowly making its way to bring forth some peace on the face of this earth. But there is a challenge going on between, you know, ascension and what's going on above, where we have, well, some of us are feeling it. Some of us just sense it. Some of us perpetuate it. And some of us are defending what's going on. And we have to decide what side of this spiritual happening we decide we want to be on. The higher levels are the levels of ascension. Moving to a higher level, is this what you want to do? Is this where you're at? We have the feelers, that those of us who are empaths, feeling these, you know, and sensing or feeling these weird happenings. That's where I say I'm feeling, I'm doing my best to stabilize myself during this massive these massive energy changes. And there are times that I'm just not feeling much like doing anything because I'm drawing on the energy of other people, and I just don't want to be there. You know, there are times when I just don't want to be there. Sometimes I just want to give up. I'm human. Sometimes I just want to lay down and cry because I'm feeling so sad as I'm watching things going on TV. And of course, I am working at the polls. I've been doing early voting in my county since September the 23rd. And I'm watching these people as they come in because that's the empath that I am. I'm watching them and not doing it because or forcing myself to do it. It's just something that I'm very aware of. You know, when somebody is nasty to me, I'm very aware of. When somebody, let me give you some examples of being aware. I had a young man, very tall, young kid at my station, and I was registering him, checking him in so he could vote. And my computer was acting very slowly. Here, we can, in Virginia, most parts of Virginia, we can scan our driver's license in, and it throws up our name and address and everything and whether or not we're a registered voter. Well, his license didn't scan in, so I had to do what we call a 3.3. 3.3 is when you put the first three letters of the first name, of the last name, the first three letters of the last name, comma, first three letters of the first name. And then it may bring it up, but it may bring it up with a whole lot of other people who have those same six letters. Well, my computer was working very slowly that particular day, and I'm explaining to the young man, you know, what's going on. And I'm telling you, he looked like he didn't want to be there anyway. He looked like he was in a stressful moment, you know. And I was a little concerned about him. That's the intuitive sensor side of me. You know, something is not quite right, but there's nothing I can talk about with this young man because I'm just checking him in to vote. All of a sudden, this big guy who towers this young guy stands over the two of us, and he growls, well, is there a problem over here? You know, now the young man knew what was going on. I looked up at the guy who turned out to be the parent, and I said, no, there's no problem. We're fine. We know what we're doing over here. Well, I just came over to check. Now, this was not his place to come over and check at my check-in station. He had already taken his ballot to do his voting. But then we find these parents who are dragging their young people who are first-time voters or whatever, dragging them to come and vote. But what they're doing is they're demanding that the child votes the way the parent wants them to vote. And it's, you know, like it's really sad when you see or you can sense this is what's happening. It also happens with husbands and wives, you know? It's obvious when a husband is standing behind a wife and like, well, you're not supposed to be standing behind this person that's checking in to vote because it doesn't matter to me that they're your wife. When they're in front of me, they're just another voter. And no voter can talk to another voter when they're getting their ballot and they're going off to a station to cast, you know, to write what they want, what, to make their selections. So it's amazing how you can see going on if you're aware, you know. That's when we get the empath, who is a feeler, and an intuitive who can sense something that's just not right and then pick up on the just not right. So here's how it happened. He's standing behind her. Nobody's supposed to be standing behind the other person who's checking in to get their ballot. I say to him, so you have to go sit down because you're not supposed to be standing there behind her while she's checking in, while I'm her husband. And well, sir, it's okay that you're her husband, but it doesn't matter. You have to go away. Well, I'm not going anywhere. Well, then, sir, I'm not going to give her her ballot. How about that? You know what I'm saying? So finally, because the man wouldn't move, I had to go get the chief. The chief is the person who's in charge of all of us, and that's the person that's, you know, overseeing us. And then we have what we call poll watchers directly behind us. The poll watchers are from both parties or all three parties if it's an independent. You know, they're from all the parties, and there's one from each that sits behind us as we're checking in people. When we ask a person for their name and their address, they tell us, and then we repeat it, what they told us, so the poll watchers can hear and in some elections check off that person. You know, they'll check off, or they have a long list and they know who's who. You know, they check off that person. So I went and got the chief, told the chief what was going on, and I'm saying, this man won't let me print this woman her ballot. And at the same time, I'm saying to the woman, well, ma'am, I can't give you a ballot until your husband moves. And she's whispering to me, darling, you know what your job is. Just do your job the way you're supposed to do your job. And then I say to her, well, I'm trying to. I said, but he's getting mad. And she whispers to me, that's okay, darling. Better he get mad at you than he gets mad at me. Evidently, she wanted him to get away from her so she could vote for who she wanted to vote for, you know? So finally, the chief took him away, and what happened was I took the woman over to a station where she could vote. In the meantime, he's telling the chief that she has Alzheimer's and I need to help her with her ballot. So the chief says, then you have to fill out an assist application. You have to fill out an assist form, but she will have to sign it. Chief comes over to me and says he's filling out an assist form, and I say to the chief, she's not going to sign it because she doesn't want him to assist her. Chief goes back to tell him, look, you have to sit down because we can't make her sign something if she's not going to sign it. Okay? When a woman finished making her selection, and she was walking to the front to pass her ballot into the scanner, this man jumps up so that he could follow her to the scanner just to see who she voted for. And at that very moment, I got up from my chair, asked the person in front of me to excuse me 1 second. I walked over there, stood between her and him as she passed her ballot into the scanner, without him seeing who she voted for. So you see, you're having a lot of stuff going on with a lot of people. And I'm watching this. I'm watching people be ugly, angry people. And it's really sad. So here we have your higher levels of people who are in the ascension process, and they may not even realize that, you know, they're moving to a higher level. Those are your feelers, maybe your empaths. Those are your people that sense things, that's your intuitive, you know. They're sensing something that's about to hit the fan. And then you have what we call your precogs, precognition. They know what's going on. It's obvious to them what's going on, you know. Then by the same token, those are your higher levels. Then you have your lower levels of energy or vibration. Those are your perpetuators. Those are your villains. Those are your toxic persons or people who just don't care. They don't care. They just don't care. You know, they blow your mind. I was telling a friend of mine, I am so, so sad at what I'm seeing happening all over the face of this earth, especially here in the United States of America. Why am I sad? Because I see things that our ancestors fought for and died for going by the wayside because there's nobody caring about this. Not enough people are caring about this stuff. And it's not only, you know, because I'm African-American. I'm not talking about African-American ancestors. What about Caucasian ancestors that devised and developed the Constitution? Those are ancestors as well. And there are people literally trying to destroy everything that was fought for and gained. You know, the right to vote. You know, the right to interracial marriages. You know, the right to a whole, the right to affirmative action in schools. What is going on in the world and why are there no people, not enough people fighting for this stuff? You know, and then I said to one of my sons, on the one hand, you have people my age, people who have transitioned to the other side, like my mother's age, my grandmother's age. And then you have the little people, like my 6-year-old granddaughter, my 17-year-old granddaughter, my grandson on that side, who have to suffer through what is going on in the middle because you have so many individuals in the middle that just don't care. Well, you know, what does my vote do? You know, it's not going to change any. You don't know whether or not it's going to change anything or not because you didn't vote. You know what I'm saying? So you got a whole host of folks in the middle that feel like, well, why bother? Some defend the stuff that's going on, and some, oh, well, it is what it is, so why bother? You know? So you're going to have to make a decision before the 8th on election day. You know, what are you, one of those why bother people? The hell with all the changes and all the challenges that all those people who have long since died and transitioned over, and they fought with their lives and their blood to give us everything we've garnered. I'm not just talking about a racial garnering. I'm talking about a spiritual garnering. I'm talking about a mega national garnering. You know, look around the earth. Look at what's going on everywhere. You know, why is this man over there, you know, like killing all of those innocent people, dropping bombs on their country? It's just sad. What has happened to those little children who were stripped from their families, you know? Way back when, you know, we had children stripped from their families and put in these quote-unquote child concentration camps, and their parents and going one way, and the children. What happened to all of those children? You don't even hear about them anymore. What the heck is going on? people just don't seem to care. And it's sad. So, you're going to have to make a decision. You're going to have to decide who you are, what you are, what you stand for. And if you say, why bother, then that means you stand for nothing. You stand for nothing, you know? But sometimes we got to understand that when you choose an side that's ascending, you will realize that when you stand there as a revolutionary and you stand and you stand for what you believe in and you actually believe in something, hey, sometimes you're going to get some flack. It doesn't matter. I had this woman who works at the county where I'm doing my temporary volunteer work, so to speak. And she's trying to get me to go to her church. And that's a beautiful thing. I don't have a problem with people trying to get me to go to their church. And I will visit their church. But we're sitting in the kitchen and we're talking about things. And I'm saying that I believe that, you know, my energy is a part of all things in existence, including that cup over there. You know, because we're all made of this energy. We're talking about the little guys, the molecules. We're talking about the atoms. Excuse me. We're talking about that stuff. Oh, well, she, like, wanted to make light and want to make a joke about, well, Yolanda, some people may want to be a cup, but that's not where I believe I want to be, you know, a cup, you know, that kind of thing. So she made a joke out of what I was saying. But then she wants to know if I read the Bible. And I told her, no, I read the Quran. But I have a Bible, and I have read the Bible. I also have a Book of Mormon, and I have a Torah, and I have an Injil. I have a whole lot of stuff over here because I studied religion with my granddaughters, who are now in their late 20s and 30s, were teenagers. They didn't want to go to church anymore. They needed some kind of spiritual growth, so we studied religion. We studied the religions of the world, all of them, okay? So this woman is questioning me because, or she's challenging me because I don't read the Bible. But I had done some numerological work with some of the other persons there. I even did hers. I doubt if she's ready yet because that's where her mindset is. It's in her personal way, and she hasn't even looked at it. But I was asking another person what they felt about their numerology and their life path. And she said she was going to get with me later and talk about it. So here it is. I have a woman sitting next to me, the same woman. I call her the church lady. Who says, oh, Yolanda, do you know your life path? And I said, yes, ma'am, I do. She said, well, would you consider telling me what your life path is? And I told her, no, I would not consider telling her what my life path is. And she looked at me, you know, as to question why. I said, and the reason why is because I feel that anything I can say to you would be a contradiction to your belief system. And so I'm not about to want to be challenged on what I believe in, that kind of thing. So with that, I say, when you share yourself openly like that, when you share yourself like who I am, you share who you are, you know, you might die a little, but you will live a lot and you will grow into whatever the next level of your ascension is, you know, because you shared who you are, what you stand for, what you believe in. And as far as the elections go, I can only cast one ballot, one vote. And in that, I have stood in that manner. That's who I am. And that's who I choose to be. And I don't, how do you say, cast aspersions on you because you believe what you believe. But I am here to say there are a lot of people that died so that we can have what we have. And it's your choice whether you want to fight for it or you just want to let it go by the wayside. Your choice. You know, in saying all of that, I printed out some stuff that Lena Stevens' husband printed out, and I want to respond to some of the things that he was saying. I really want to respond how I would feel about what he was talking about. You know, he was saying that there are ways that we can cope. You know, the world's population is much too big now for any one person to change the impact on what hundreds of millions of people are doing. Water break. As an empath, I realize that my being sad at what I see going on across the face of this earth, I can't change it. And I learned a long time ago. Someone told me this when I first started going to AA sobriety, because I was already pegged as a feeler. You know, I feel everybody's pain. I feel everybody's need. I feel like I should be able to help everybody. And someone came up to me who had many more years of sobriety than I had, because I had just entered. And this gentleman said, Yolanda, that's what he called me. Of course, y'all call me Duchess. I'm the same one and the same person. And he says, you cannot carpet the whole entire earth. You can't do that. You can't feel for everything that's going on around you. There's no such thing as being able to carpet that much. He said, the best you can probably do is find yourself, buy yourself a comfortable pair of slippers and slide them on your own feet. You know? I guess that means putting the oxygen mask on my face first rather than trying to save everybody around me and I'm going down for the count. He also said, Stephen said, many will be disrupted. Many will die untimely deaths due to uncontrolled circumstances. We're talking about all those deaths of those people, you know, in that war-torn country. We're talking about my friend who fell out of the airplane. You know, the airplane fell out of the sky and she went into the sea and, you know, untimely deaths all around us. Another friend of mine just passed away. She died of kidney failure, heart failure, you know, and so you're watching your friends just leave because they're not meant to be here. But we have to also consider that when there is an earthquake or an avalanche, one just has to wait it out and cope with the aftermath as best one can. Because we can't do it all. We can't just jump on in there because we'll be gone too. Oh, so what can be done? See? In person says, actually a great deal can be done. Jose says, if one is prepared and not resistant to change. So he gave a list of some things that we can do to prepare ourselves and ways to cope with the unthinkable, you know. And one of the things he said is always accept what happens as if you had chosen it, even if you disagree with it. So that brings me to the serenity prayer. You know, ask your higher power to grant you the serenity to accept those things that you cannot change. Just accept it. What he's saying is accept what happens as if you had chosen it, even if you disagree with it. He also says, do what you can to help in a local way, but realize you cannot save the whole world or the masses. Once again, one person, one vote. Get those comfortable slippers out. Slide them on your feet because you sure can't carpet the whole world or the whole community. one person, one vote. Accept transitions as part of the greater transformation. There is always birth and death, sometimes more of one than the other. Okay? There are losses of family and friends. I've lost many. The last past year, I lost my brother in February. I've lost a couple of friends. Then I feel there are some who have died by choice. Because I believe spiritually, when they're ready to go, they choose to go. Some know they're about to go. Some at peace as they make that transition. Make a habit of blessing everyone and everything as often as possible. Well, here you go. Resentments are like poison, waiting for somebody else to die. So bless the person who is causing you the resentments, because once again, you're looking for that serenity to accept the things that you cannot change. Refrain from judgment as best you can. None of us knows the ramifications of each decision made. I was told by my mother a long time, she believed nothing happens by chance. What happens was meant to happen, and that's the only thing that could have happened as it happened. You know, so you can't look back at what happened and think you can change what happened if it's already happened. And accept the fact that nothing happens by chance. All things happen for a reason. Regarding those you cannot control, realize it's only a movie played on the screen that is not influenced by what is playing on it. I love that statement, because Jose says, we are not the movie. We're the screen. So we can position ourselves with that serenity prayer and knowing our place in it, then we don't have to worry about what's going on. If we can't change it, we're just going to turn off the TV, don't look at it, turn off the news, don't listen to it. Because if there's nothing we can do about it, then there's no sense in worrying about what's going on. And as I said previously, those people at the election office, I was the screen, and they were playing their drama across me, using me, but they were playing out themselves. And if I wanted to internalize all of that drama that I would have gone home every day feeling like crap. But no, I looked at their ugliness. And what did I do? If I can't love it, have compassion for it. So we get some distance from the whole drama. We can be as neutral as we possibly can. I didn't want to cause any more drama with that parent or that husband than I played by the rules. As a matter of fact, by playing by the rules, I got an applause by everybody in that election room. One of the poll watchers even said to me, you know, when I watched how you handled that situation, I wanted to walk up to you and give you a big hug. You handled that fabulously. So you open your heart. You find kindness and generosity there, as well as compassion and forgiveness. You cultivate gratitude no matter how awful the event seems. Be grateful for who you are. Because I am grateful for who I am. And there's times when I remember to say to myself, sometimes out loud, dear God, reveal yourself to me and through me, that I may be a shining example of your divine light in human form. There you go. How can you yourself be ugly and unmanageable if you're walking with that type of energy inside of you? Jose says you should be as present as possible during every waking moment. Be aware that the current moment, I feel, is not going to be forever. What is occurring is passing out of reality. So it's just taking its little route, this little train ride through your little system for the moment. Tomorrow, the next day, you may not even remember that it happened. But pay attention to your awareness, consciousness, presence. They are the only things you can count on, the only stability, the only reality in a world of illusion. They are what connect you to everyone and everything, even to what appears to be your most bitter enemy. Once again, acceptance is the key. Learn to turn it over. Turn it over to your higher power. Pray on it. You'll see. As the rewards come, you'll also see what happened. That woman, there was a woman that was so nasty with me. I was telling her how to slide her ballot into the ballot box. And she had what's called a privacy sleeve around it. And the privacy sleeve is cardboard, you know. The ballot is like paper. And so she had the ballot inside the privacy sleeve. Now, there's nobody around her to see who she voted for. So I don't even know why the hell she had the privacy sleeve around it. You know, so she brings it up, and I'm saying to her, she's trying to shove it in, and I'm saying, ma'am, just the ballot. You can't, ma'am, just the ballot, not the cardboard. Now, I'm saying it very nicely, ma'am, not just the ballot, just the cardboard. Well, I was trying not to do that. Isn't that what you're here for? I didn't know that. Isn't that what you're here for? To tell me how to do this? And I said, yes, ma'am, that's why I told you how to do it. You know? Oh, she got really upset with me. She put the ballot in. Then when I wanted to hand her an I voted early sticker, she snatched it out of my hand. And then when I reached for the privacy sleeve to take it from her, she pushed that into my hand. And I just, you know what? There's some uglies out there. But that doesn't mean that you have to be ugly too. Turn it over. I turned her over immediately. Why? Because there's no crisis to the one who sees no crisis. So if I saw this as a big effing deal, then guess what? That's what it would have turned into. And I might have jumped at her, but then, you know, I'm working. I can't go there. So back to that serenity prayer. Ooh, give me serenity, please, please, HP. Grant me the serenity to accept the things I can't change, the courage to change the things I can. And the beautiful, beautiful spiritual wisdom to know the difference. We also have to be aware of how we frame things, how we interpret the world around us. Be aware of your choices and how you judge things. If you cannot love it, then please, please, please have compassion for it, you know. Ooh, remember that anger is sourced in fear, and fear is sourced in the illusion of separation. Fear is suffering, unnecessary, and never justified. Let it go. Let it go, and let your higher power take care of it. Find a way to turn it over. Write down, you know, something. Write the name down 3 times. Slide it in your Bible if you believe in the Bible. Put it on your altar if you believe in your altar. Your ancestor, wherever, whoever, and whatever protects you, slide that fear into it and let it go. And then there's your adrenaline. Adrenaline is not necessarily fear. but a call to action. Adrenaline is fright, or fight. So what do you want to do? You know, adrenaline can prepare you for the battle that's about to approach. That's when you can decide on what do you want to do? How far do you want to take this? And then once you see where it's headed, you can let it go, or you can keep it going. Okay, we can be fearless and strike like lightning when the time is right. But that's up to you. Okay, you can also share what you have with whomever needs it. There is always more. There is no lack in the spiritual realm, especially when you're consciously aware of all that there is, and you know who to share it with and all that need what you have to offer. Physician, heal thyself. Do not be blinded by the light. Look at your shadow to heal yourself. As I said before, put that mask on you first. You can't heal others if you're about ready to die and drain yourself of all your own energy. Where you stumble, there your treasures lie. You stumble where you are not looking or paying attention. So pay attention, okay? Watch and be aware of all things that are within your grasp, of all things that are around you. I said to this woman the other day in the break room, the same church lady, I watch her flit and flutter all over the place. And then she came into the break room and she gouged that they had sandwiches for her. I mean, she scoffed that sandwich down. I said, you know what? Look at you. You are so busy being all over the place that you don't even realize when you're being rude, when you're being dismissive to people. You know, you're not aware of what's going on around you because you're so busy looking so far in advance that you can't see the treasures right there in front of your face. We also have to learn to stay in our own lane. We have to ask another if they need our help. You know, but we can't meddle. Do you need a sounding board and that's all you need? Or would you like me to respond to what you're saying to me? And I'm learning real fast how to use my listening skills. Do not find meaning and self-worth in others' dramas or in your own, because there is no self-worth. There is no meaning in the dramas of others or in your own. And you need to learn when it's not your business. You can stand back. You discern it. If you feel or you know that you need to step in, then you step in. If not, then let it go and stand back and let it proceed on its own. Know when it's not your business. Jose was saying that sound can heal when used appropriately. Jose says we should not have excessive clamor around us. Jose says we should seek peace from within. Duchess says that means meditation, maybe just a walk around the block. Perhaps some yoga stretches, perhaps some soft background music. Maybe you want to read a little bit. How about giving yourself a trip to a massage parlor and laying there and allowing a massage? I'm going to tell you, I have a very dear friend. I call her my sister, Reverend Friend, and she does remote energy work. And once a week, that's what Ada Gutierrez blesses me with. I come home, I take a bath, I get in my pajamas, I lay in my bed, I get my phone call from Ada, and she does remote energy work, and it's amazing. So I would recommend that to some of my friends and family as well, because I've seen her work on my mother, and it's amazing. We don't realize how our energy is depleted just by walking down the street and absorbing other people's energy or letting other people absorb our light energy because they're taking it away. We call them the energy, you call them the energy vampires. Yes, spiritual work, energy. That's what we need because it's depleted by virtue of just hanging out with everyday people. So we can look around and see that there is nothing outside of spirit, okay? Nothing is outside of spirit. All creation reveals itself to us. And we are a part of all of that that is in creation. Once again, dear God, higher power, Allah, spirit, please, please, please reveal yourself to me and through me so that I may be a shining example of your divine light in human form. You need to laugh often. You need to play often. You need to sing often. Okay? How about watch a comedy? That's my favorite thing to do. You let me start feeling a little depressed and out of sorts. I find something funny to watch, make me laugh in a heartbeat. Or I go on YouTube and watch some of those clean mouth comedians. They make me laugh. And I love, what's his name? His last name is Koy, K-O-Y. I don't know his first name. I even watch Trevor Noah. He's pretty clean as a stand-up comedian, you know? I may play some YouTube music, or you can have a sing-along, but do not refrain from pleasure. Just don't need it to be a whole or gratified. So don't use it as a means to avoid what you need to do. You just need it to give you some energy and to revitalize yourself. Treat yourself to a movie. Treat yourself to dinner. Treat yourself for a car ride. Treat yourself to a trip. Oh my gosh. I'm treating myself to a trip in January. I'm going on a Sober Sisters cruise. I'm looking forward to it. I haven't been on a cruise ship since my daughter took me on one, I'd say like maybe almost 20 years ago. Yeah, maybe 25 years ago. I don't know. But if it's the will of God, I'm going on one in January. It's already paid for. One of the things that Jose says is that you do not have to do anything about love. Let it be strong, let it be full, let it be. Because love definitely is the key. Like I say, if you can't find it in your heart to love it, then offer it some compassion. If you can't find any compassion for it, then pray for it. Pray for it not to be what you want it to be, but pray for it that it's God's will to make it be what God wants it to be. Or pray for it, that you're able to accept God's creation as it is. There's that serenity prayer. So some of the greatest transitions happen within. It has nothing to do with external changes. Deep breathing, prayer, meditation. Transitions may be requiring letting go of the known, letting go of what you have become attached to, even if that is a person. There is loss, yet there is something greater awaiting, something that is unchanged, just neglected, waiting to be embraced again. Perhaps it will become known to you. It is what is always true. Always true. You know, sometimes you lose a love, or so you think you've lost a love. But then you realize if you had stayed stuck with that love, you would not have gained what you now have. So there's a lot that we hold on to that we need to let go. Because as long as we hold on to it, we are keeping ourselves from having our own future evolve. Or what we're doing is we're creating one of the biggest sins, and that's not allowing that person to be who they are meant to be, because we are enabling them. So once again, you do not have to be treated poorly. There is no reason for you to accept anybody treating you in a horrible way. We have to let go of our addictions. We have to let go of some people. Sometimes we have to let relationships go. So why don't we be someone who transitions well? We have to accept it. We can integrate it. We can look for the opportunity in it. It is not other than you. Rather, it is also you. If you cannot, that is okay too. Perhaps it is not the right time yet. The unclear will become clear, and you will know how. Meanwhile, there is always something to celebrate. As Jose says, if you grumble, if you complain, if you are critical, just notice, just observe. Feeling unhappy is never fun. So with that, I have to say the nasties on election day, that father wondering if there's a problem, that husband who tried to stifle his wife's vote, that woman who got annoyed with me because I said, that's what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to help you, who wanted to snatch her I voted sticker, that she lost that sticker too. Whatever nasties were, those are the things that I have to accept, the things I cannot change. Behind that, you can feel good, very good. When those things happen to you, it can throw you just temporarily out of focus. If that should happen, see if you can bring it back into focus, and you will perform what seems like a magic trick. And Jose says, that would be amazing. So, do something nice for yourself. You know, it'll help your ascension process. Be kind to yourself. And if you want Ada Gutierrez's telephone number, let me know. My email address is Duchess on the Air, DUCHESS on the Air at gmail.com. And let's see what you can do to make things better for you. Alrighty, family. With that said, I think it's time for me to say to you that Jose Stevens is a PhD, and he is president and co-founder with his wife, Lena. You know I do Power Path with Lena. It was time for me to share some of my feelings about Jose. Okay, they do seminars. They're an international school and consulting firm dedicated to the study and application of shamanism and indigenous wisdom to business and everyday life. Ooh, so shall I say good night until third Sunday? Third Sunday will be the 20th. Okay, we're getting ready to have a lunar eclipse Tuesday. I think it's Tuesday morning. Oh, and I'll be doing the polls. I will be getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Okay, you take care. Go vote if you believe in it. And if you don't, that's okay too. I know you're willing to accept whatever happens. Once again, grant you the serenity to accept the things you cannot change, the wisdom to know the difference, because you're going to change the things that you can. Love you. Take care. Assalamu alaikum.